Mother's Day is the top Sunday of the year where people attend worship service in the United States. It says that Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day have become the 3 days of male holy obligation where their wives and mothers are able to guilt them into the pews. We won't talk about Father's Day because the attendance on Father's Day is not as significant as Mother's Day. But I found that very interesting, and I think it's very interesting if we think of it in terms of the context of what we're going to study this morning. I mentioned that we live in an interesting time, and that we do. You know, many in our society today are questioning God. They're questioning the Bible. They're questioning the church. We hear about it each and every day. The relativity, is the Bible really relevant in the year 2012? Does the church hold anything for me as a person? That's a recurring theme that we hear over and over and over. You hear this comment, the Christians do not value women. Christians are narrow-minded and are bigoted. Even so-called people of faith speak out against those who would stand for the truth as is written in God's Holy Scriptures. But as interesting as we might find that, as challenging as we might find that, none of that is really new. That's not new in 2012. That's existed for over 2,000 years. That's existed since the days when Jesus walked the face of the earth and those questions were again posed, where people ridiculed those of faith, those who stood for the values and the moral values that we find in the Scriptures, those who followed God. This morning, I invite you to look at a portion of the Bible with me, which clearly and unequivocally establishes God's love for each of us, His perfect plan for those who choose to be obedient. And today, we honor all Christian women by looking at the crucial role that women play in the Bible and in our society today. Back to Acts chapter 16, the disciple Timothy that's mentioned in Acts 16 was well spoken of by the brethren in the church. Now, we don't have a definition of exactly what that means, but when you hear the term that someone is well spoken of, what comes to mind? It speaks to their integrity, it speaks to their honesty, it speaks to their behaviors, it speaks to their attitudes. To be well spoken of by the brethren in not just one place, but in multiple congregations, says something about the character and about the moral standing of young Timothy. The Apostle Paul was so confident in Timothy and his ability to the extent that he invited him to join him on his missionary journey. Now, lest we think that that's something insignificant, Paul is traveling on an extended journey to go out and to establish congregations of the church, to teach the Gentiles, a very important journey that he's engaged in, one that he has to be certain that everyone with him is going to be supportive and that they're going to help with the effort and not a hindrance. And he chooses young Timothy, not because only of his reputation, but because Paul knows Timothy is a man of God. He knows he's a man of faith. Timothy has exhibited those characteristics where Paul is confident to bring him on his missionary journey. Paul has so much confidence in Timothy, we read in two different books in the New Testament, both inspired by God, where Paul wrote letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, when Timothy was a young preacher at the location of Ephesus. We know that Timothy was a gospel preacher and that he stayed in Ephesus for some period of time. And that's not an insignificant piece of information. Ephesus was a very important city at the time. Ephesus was a very important city as the mission was going forward to convert those of the Gentile belief. And it was important that there be someone who could be trustworthy. We didn't have the ability today that we have today to send out messages, text messages, call, email, here's a library, here's a lot of books, here's things that you can. He needed to know that somebody was going to be in Ephesus that was going to be strong in character, strong in faith. And in 1 and 2 Timothy, we see the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy that give so much information, not only to the church there, but to all of the churches of the day and to us today. An important part of our Christian faith is found in these two letters. Think with just for a moment as we look at it quickly. Paul's instruction to Timothy regarding false teachers in chapter 1, beginning verse 3 and going through verse 11. False teachers, the very thing that was a threat to the church in those early days and is a threat today, the teaching about how to be aware of false teachers, to stamp them out, to know what is being taught, the importance of that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in the latter part of the chapter, Paul's reminder that God sent Jesus Christ to save all sinners. A message for us each and every day. 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul entrusted Timothy with this work and sent him to do an important job in an important city with crucial messages. 1 Timothy chapter 2, where we are told to pray for all people. Continuing on in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul sends through Timothy the qualifications for elders and for deacons in the Lord's church. Paul has so much confidence in Timothy that he's entrusting in him the words for how the leadership of the Lord's church will be conducted, not just in that day, not just in that congregation, but until time comes to an end. Paul's confidence in Timothy is further stated as he tells Timothy to be a good servant and he gives instructions for the church in the subsequent chapters of 1 Timothy. You see, Paul felt a great deal of affection for Timothy. Paul knew that not only was Timothy a fine Christian young man with a great deal of ability, Paul had an affection for him that's described as having an affection likened to that of a son. He felt so much love for Timothy in his work and in his personal well-being. Paul's second letter to Timothy was written when Paul was imprisoned in Rome. He was facing death for his own belief in Christ Jesus, and it reveals the basis for his confidence in young Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, we read, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Guard the deposit entrusted to you. I thank God for whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy." And verse 5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." Paul recognizes the sincere faith that Timothy has demonstrated. He recognizes the faith in chapter 16 of Acts, where he is moved to ask Timothy to join him on his missionary journey. He recognizes that sincere faith that allowed Timothy to be the Christian servant to stand against the sin and temptations at the church in Ephesus. He recognizes the sincere faith that allowed Timothy to evangelize in one of the most important cities of that generation. Well, where did Timothy acquire such faith? What was the basis for his belief? Why was he so strong in his conviction for the Lord? Well, verse 5 that we just read tells us the basis for that. In that one short verse, let's read it again. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." The foundation of Timothy's faith was established by his mother Eunice and by his grandmother Lois. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17, we read, But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to Timothy in verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. The latter part of that passage is one that we often quote. We often refer to the latter part of that passage. But this morning, on this Mother's Day, I want you to listen again to the first part of that. But as for you, continue in what you have learned, Timothy, and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy's faith was established by his mother and by his grandmother. It's that simple. Well, who were Eunice and Lois, and what do we know about them? Well, we don't know much. This is the only passage that we have reference in the Scriptures to Eunice and Lois. Do you know that this is the only passage where the word grandmother is found in the Bible? Eunice, we know, was a Jewish woman, and we know that she took responsibility for teaching her son. We know that her husband was a Greek Gentile. That's all we know about him. No other information is available. We do know that they were faithful Christians and that they were a devoted mother and grandmother. So we have to ask ourselves, what did they do as a mother and grandmother to instill the foundation of faith in Timothy that prepared him to be such a powerful servant for God? Well, we know he was trained in the home. Trained in the home. That's an action word. Trained. It's proactively doing something to make sure that you get an end result. We think about other parts of our lives and we think about people going into training. They spend hours, they spend weeks, they spend months, they spend years in training to get a desired outcome. We have the Olympic Games every 4 years, and Olympic athletes, they spend their whole lives training. Eunice and Lois trained Timothy. Let's keep that in mind. Training, a proactive exercise. No doubt he was instructed in the law, the books of law, the books of the prophets. He was given knowledge of great judges such as Samuel. He was taught about the most loved prophets such as Jeremiah. And no doubt the wisdom in Psalms and Proverbs. If you stop for a moment, can't you almost hear Eunice and Lois teaching young Timothy? Proverbs 22 and 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Or Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 11. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of righteousness. Remember Paul's words to Timothy. From childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The faithfulness of Lois and Eunice, grounded in God's Word, created a foundation for Timothy. And Eunice and Lois are valuable models for us. Even in those short verses that we read about them, Eunice and Lois are role models for men and women today. I would suggest to you the following. Number one, women can know God's Word. Women can study God's Word and know what He wants us to do. Christian women can faithfully teach children and other women about God's Word. Women can nurture a true faith and be diligent to make sure that not only do they read God's Word, they possess the right doctrine. Just as there were false doctrines in Ephesus that Paul warned Timothy against, There are false doctrines today, but women can study God's Word and they can know what the true doctrine is. They can follow God's Word. They can be faithful in the face of adversity. Regardless of what this world might bring to each and every one of us, women can remain faithful because of the confidence they have from God's Word. Women can model godliness. They can be Christ-like as opposed to self-centeredness. That's a wonderful example to each and every one of us, men and women. And I would suggest to you that for those that are mothers, nothing is more important in your life than a strong and vibrant faith to model before your children. Eunice and Lois modeled this each and every day of their life, I'm confident, because it says that they instructed and they trained Timothy. Women, you can model this in front of your children. Your actions and your behaviors are having an impact. The way that you treat others, the way that you treat your husbands, your commitment to the church, how much are you willing to give to God's Word? How much are you willing to give to the church? Your attendance, your involvement, everything that you say about your Christianity is giving your children an example of your faith. Your commitment to the church, to the family, to God is a model for your children. Make sure it's the one that they should have. Women can influence younger generations. We read the following in Psalm chapter 71, verses 17 and 18. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. You know, men, we're not exempt. We can learn from the ladies. We can learn from examples of Christian women. While the Scriptures abound with many examples of faithful women, and we could have spoken this morning and talked about Mary, Dorcas, Lydia, countless others of great women in the Bible. But there are countless numbers of men today who are faithful Christians due to the influence of Christian women. And I would challenge each and every man in this audience to think back over the years, and you will think of Christian women that have had a strong influence on your life. Bible school teachers, neighbors, aunts, cousins, extended families. You know, 90 years ago, in 1922, there was a man born in a small town. He was born into a family that did not have any strong religious belief. He had a number of siblings, brothers and sisters, and as he grew up, his family didn't attend church any type. But there was a neighbor that belonged and was a member of the Lord's church. She took them to Bible study. She loaded up these kids and took them to Bible study. That man grew up. He went into the army. He lived a worldly life. He was never, during that time, never a Christian, never following any religious belief. But he came home and he married a Christian young woman. He became a Christian. He was converted. He was baptized. That man went on to serve as a deacon, an elder. He preached. He led singing. He was a faithful Christian for many, many years. The influence, when I talked to that man, he said the influence of that woman that took them to Bible school as a young child never left him. And when he met a young girl who was a member of the church, he knew what he needed to do and he obeyed the gospel. He went on to live a very full life. He was a very strong elder in the Lord's church, stood against some very, very great challenges as an elder, as most of our elders do. He employed hundreds of members of the church. He gave jobs to Christians to the point where his employer said, are there any more people at your church that need a job because they're wonderful employees and we want to have them? And this man became a Christian because of the influence of that woman that took him as a child to Sunday school and of the woman that he married. I knew that man well. He was my dad. So what's the influence that women have had on the church? How many preachers are out there because of a woman? How many preachers' wives have been able to endure what a preacher's wife has to put up with because of the Christian women that give them support? How many elders, how many deacons, how many elders and deacons' wives have been able to make it through those difficult discussions and those long, difficult periods because of Christian women that can give them influence? How many members of the Lord's church, how many are able to say that there were strong Christian women in their past that have helped them to remain faithful? How many congregations of the Lord's church are even in existence because of faithful Christian women? When you travel around the Brotherhood, as Jennifer and I have the opportunity to do, we find places where the numbers are thin, and most of the time, the numbers are dominated by Christian women. And we need to be thankful for them. It makes you wonder how many millions of souls have actually been touched because of Christian women. If not for Eunice and Lois, what path would Timothy have chosen? Well, the answer is very simple. We don't know. We don't know. We do know that because of their faith and their devotion to teaching him the Holy Scriptures, Timothy became a devoted, loyal servant of Christ. As we mentioned earlier, Paul loved Timothy like a son, and he loved the church. In 1 Timothy 4, chapter 2, or verse 2, Timothy is encouraged by Paul to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, listen closely, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? As even in this community today, Christians are being persecuted, reviled, and ridiculed for our faith, our belief, and our morals. Even in this community this week, some of our elected officials have publicly condemned those who would abide by biblical principles as being narrow-minded and ignorant. It's been publicly stated this week that Christians do not respect women. How sad. How wrong. So I have a message for all the Christian women in the audience this morning. The message is very simple. It's with all the praise that I can muster. Thank you. I should be hearing some amens out of there, gentlemen. Thank you, Christian women, for your sincere faith, for your love, for your steadfastness. God bless you each and every day. Christian women should stand tall and proud, knowing that God has placed women alongside man, created man and woman in the image of God, and bestowed upon them great responsibilities and great honor. So how should we respond to these attacks today? Some would suggest that we should be angry. Let's look to Paul. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5, this is how Paul suggested we respond to those. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 through 14, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We are told to pray for those that are in our positions of leadership. Despite what they might say about God's word, we should pray that we're able to continue to worship Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul's admonition to Timothy, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." God's response and what we should respond to the hatred that's being spewed about Christians and about our belief and about our morals and about our faith is that we should respond with love and we should pray for them. Paul wrote to Timothy out of a sincere love personally and for the work that he was doing with the church. What a blessing it must have been to Eunice and Lois to know that Timothy was a faithful Christian and that he was serving God. Paul knew that death was imminent. His words of encouragement that he wrote to Paul in 2 Timothy are still powerful today. Those words that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." You see, that promise is still there for us today. I have to ask as we conclude this morning, can you say the same thing that the Apostle Paul said? Have you fought the good fight? Have you kept the faith? Does your life reflect the life that Lois and Eunice lived in the presence of their community and in the presence of young Timothy? Are you a believer that's been baptized for the remission of your sins? Are you the Christian example that would lead others to follow Jesus? And here's the question I want you to think on. Is your faith sincere and a foundation from others to learn on? As you think about that question, if you have a need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to stand. We're going to sing to encourage you.